Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And my guest this morning, which I'm particularly excited to talk to, is Phil Lumbang. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to have you on. It's finally good to wrangle you in for a show and talk about all that you've been doing, because you've been pretty darn busy. And I have quite a few questions I want to ask you, but maybe we could just start with, man, you just got done with a show called Babes and Bears. Can you give us an update of the type of thing you're doing right now?
Yeah, you know, me and Becca, we've been working together for a while now, and we just had our solo show close at Lab Art on the 10th of November. So, you know, I'm kind of like still riding off of that. I got a vinyl toy coming out in July, slated for Comic-Con release, and I got a solo show at My Plastic Heart in New York City. It's going to be my first solo show in NY, and, you know, I'm really pumped about that, and, you know, I'm just trying to work a different angle, because, you know, I know that Sandy hit there, and, you know, I just feel weird, like, trying to hustle my artwork to people that have, you know, already gone through so much. So I'm trying to find a really cool angle I could work where, you know, there's going to be a lot of affordable artwork that mm-hmm. people can hang. And, you know, I'm not going to be asking for, like, $1,000 so you can hang my artwork on your wall. You know, I'm going to be asking, you know, for something much, much less than that. And, you know, it's really, I really wanted to pay tribute to the citizens of New York and make sure that they can have happy bears in their life for not too expensive.
Well, that's cool. It's exciting to see, you know, the development of an artist like yourself and the success that you're having, and then the many sort of outlets that you have. We were speaking right before the show about a little bit about your imagery, and I said, I mean, it just seems so natural to go into the vinyl toy world, but also just it seems as though, I mean, my goodness, it could be a cartoon if you really wanted it to be. There's so many different things that you can go into. So if I could just pull you back a little bit and ask you about the imagery that you do use. Obviously, the bear is the most prevalent. If you could tell us a little bit about that, where it came from, and the significance.
Well, I mean, I've always wanted to be an artist ever since I could remember. And, you know, it's because I was in front of the TV a lot. My parents were you know, full-time, so there was always one sleeping while one was at work, and the TV was my babysitter, and I'd watch a lot of Hanna-Barbera. This is when Cartoon Network was still really fresh, and all they were showing were the old-school cartoons, and then that really, like, I just soaked all of that up, and I loved the art style, and, you know, I loved how zany the characters were, and how just, like, happy and happy-go-lucky, and there was, like, no real major problem. And I guess that I just took that with me growing up, and I sort of developed the bear in college when I was just doodling in my notebook, and, you know, I was looking for something cute to draw, because I think at the time I was trying to impress some girl or something, but, And then I started drawing him, and I couldn't stop drawing him. Like, then all of a sudden I had 6-7 pages full of these bears. And then I was like, you know what, I think I'm onto something. But it wasn't until 2009 when I really went pedal to the metal and started the new bear campaign, the awesome bear campaign that, you know, everyone seems to fall in love with. Because, you know, it was really just supposed to be a one-time thing to promote this cheeky little poster I made up. You know, the polar bear plus grizzly bear equals panda bear is sort of my mm-hmm. claim to fame. But, you know, at the time I was just kind of being facetious and kind of being sarcastic and funny. But it, like, manifested itself in different meanings with the audience members, you know, like the people that were enjoying it and looking at the art, they brought its own meaning. You know, I was starting to get like emails from interracial couples saying like, oh, you know, I'm black and my wife is white and, you know, we have a mulatto baby and this is like the most perfect poster. And, you know, then it started becoming this whole thing where, you know, it was all about being positive and happy and like getting rid of the negative. And I kind of, in a sense, it was the audience that kind of molded the direction I was going with the bear, you know, kind of naturally. I didn't really have to think hard about it. You know, it just flowed. It just oozed out of me.
Yeah.
And when things happen like that, you don't question it, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't. And I ran with it, and, you know, here I am today.
Yeah. So did you put, I mean, did that encourage you to put more stuff up on the street, or did it just encourage you to keep drawing? I mean, because you were pretty consistent in terms of putting some things out there. Tell me about that.
Okay, so when I first did my first painting out on the street, like, I caught the bug. While I was painting, you know, a cop pulled up to me, and, you know, he was like, oh, I just got a call in for gang graffiti. And then, like, you know, I have, like, bear faces up on this wall. You know, cute little smiley bear faces. And then he's just looking at me, like, perplexed, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm just painting these bears. I was trying to make up an excuse, like some college project I was doing, you know, to understand the blah, blah, blah of the blah, blah, blah. And he totally bought it. and then he let me keep painting. And, you know, working with other artists and hearing about other artists get caught up, I was like, whoa, I just dodged a freaking bullet. And he asked me politely if I could dodge him, you know? And again, it was just like, you just don't question it. Just roll with it. And I caught the bug because I was like, wow, I feel invincible right now, you know? And then the following weekend, I went out, and the same thing, you know, just cops just cruising right by me. And I maybe painted like 5 or 6 different bears around Silver Lake, Echo Park area, and, you know, I came back home and I was just like off this high. And then, you know, a few days later, that's when the blogs and the internet and, you know, the Facebooks and whatever started blowing up and started, you know, seeing these bears and going like, who's drawing these bears? Who's drawing these bears? And, you know, just like Shep and like my, you know, my old boss, you know, I didn't want to go by an alias. You know, my mom gave me my street art name, right? So, and, you know, I wanted to, like, almost decriminalize it in my own way, like saying, you know, this is me, this is what I paint on the street, and yes, it's illegal, but look at it, it's lovely. You know, and, you know, I'm Phil. I'm not Bear One or something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's Yeah, that's an interesting development because that's been becoming more and more common as folks who delve into street art, not even if they are consistent, they prefer their real name. Even though the alias has been tried and true sort of tradition in all of this. So that is pretty fascinating. So, you know, tell me about a little bit more. I mean, when did you move into the gallery, or when did you have your first gallery show, or when did you get tempted to do that sort of thing?
Well, it was maybe like a few months later when everything was just like catching on fire and like everyone was so pumped about this stuff and I was pumped about it. And, you know, I've worked in a gallery before. I know how things are done and, you know, I decided to throw my own show. So I got together with some friends and we rented out a space and we're like, you know, we got to do this just like it is street art. You know, it's just up and you never know when it's going to come down. So we're going to do a pop-up show. And, you know, I had like Shepherd come out and DJ and, you know, it was one of the best decisions I made in my life. And, you know, probably still one of the best shows I've had, and it was without a gallery, and it was just me, and I thought, and you know, it was really raw, and just like what I was about at that time, and you know, after that, people started getting really impressed, and you know, I started, you know, galleries started calling me, and I started getting into that, and you know, when you put on a show, it takes a long time. Because, you know, you got to have, I always want at least maybe 30 pieces because the bears are very, to me, they're very simple to draw and it doesn't take a lot of effort just because I've been practicing how to draw them. So I guess I kind of like to be a little prolific when I have a show. So it takes a lot of time. And I guess from there, that was really the transition. After that September show, I was like, wow, you know, I could do this. I could pay my student loans off like this.
Yeah. Well, there's something, it's nice. That is that, first of all, that's wonderful. Should be commended. And two, that the idea, you know, that you make your own way and that you really, this is a story of sort of picking yourself up and not waiting for anyone else to make it for you, but actually doing it yourself.
Yeah, I think I've always been
there
like
to
that.
Put in your show. Yeah. Well, you mentioned, okay, so you mentioned your former boss. You mentioned Shepherd Fairey coming out to DJ. You worked for Shepherd at a certain time. Can you tell me what you did and under the Obey banner?
Oh, yeah. Basically, I was Shepherd's assistant, graphic assistant, whatever. Like, I did it all. I helped him out with everything. You know, it just started me being an intern, like, sanding his pieces. You know, it was funny. And I was like, I can't believe I'm sanding these Shepherd Fairey pieces. You know, it was, like, so surreal at the time.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, I just, like, I just crushed it the whole way. You know, I put 110% into everything I did over there. And I think it really resonated with him and everybody because, you know, right after college, I got a full-time gig with him. And, you know, then I was flying out to London with him. You know, I was flying out to Boston and, you know, helping him out with his shows and stuff. And it was, like, such a surreal experience, you know, just some kid from Sacramento, you know, getting to work with one of his idols. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, just that really empowered me also to say, you know, to see how he does it and to see where he came from and, you know, and to see how it is possible to be a successful artist, you know, because growing up, my parents wanted me to be like a doctor or a lawyer or something because, you know, I come from like a Filipino descent, so it's just like that's just typical Filipino nature is like they want you to be in the medical field because it's, you know, you always have a job, good benefits, blah, blah, blah. And, like, being an artist, you know, it's like, whoa, what are you going to do? Like, who wants to buy art? You know, art, because, you know, art is such a luxury, you know. It's a luxury item. You don't really necessarily need it in your life. But, you know, and it's good that I tapped into that where, you know, people enjoy and are willing to pay for the things I draw. And I you know what? I still think it's surreal. This my whole life is surreal because I never thought this could be my life. You know,
sure,
just painting and drawing—it's the most amazing thing that could ever happen to anybody. It's just, you know, doing what they love to do to get by. I think is just it's great. Well, and then you know,
we're lucky to be in it. We're definitely lucky
Yeah,
to be in the
exactly.
field, and I hear that. I mean, it's a matter of doing what you love, and I can hear that passion in your voice. But there are those stereotypes, and as you were talking about that, there's this wonderful comment that's going around online: is what is art? It's a three-letter word for disappointing your parents. that's all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like,
totally.
Oh, great. Just like every parent's nightmare. That's what you're going into. But yeah,
exactly.
I'm glad you saw that experience as empowering, because it could be just the other way. Working for a famous artist, that boy, that red, black, and white, just is so dominating, and someone who is such a figure. That you've managed,
totally.
You took it as encouragement and to like, oh my gosh, here's a role model that I can use and foregoing my own way. And it seems as though everything you've done couldn't be more different than the type of things that Shep puts out there.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the medium is the same, the way we try to get the artwork out there. But yeah, the imagery is totally different, but I've learned, you know, Shepherd's ways of basically guerrilla marketing, you know. Street art is guerrilla marketing, if you want to put it into that category. And it's a very powerful tool, and I really believe that if I did not have those pieces out on the streets, and I just kept trying to push these bears as just a gallery artist, I wouldn't be in the position I am today. And you know, I love street art. I love the internet just for that sole reason. And it's just a great tool to get your artwork out there. You know, a lot of artists, you know, they want to know, like, dang, how can, like, they ask me, how did you, you know, blow up? Like, what's your secret? You know, it's the street, man. That's what it was. I got hungry, and, you know, I wanted to see how far I could take it, and, you know, it just happened, and it was a great experience, and yeah, you know, I am the bear man I am today.
That accessibility that you're talking about is something that I'm very encouraged from street art and these methods. And I think, you know, obviously the art world has become inaccessible in many ways, whether it be conceptually or where we sell art or where you can see it. And a good example is I have a good friend that just had a museum show, and his work is very affordable, and it's really good work and great opening. And we were talking about, well, how do these folks know that they can even buy this work? It's actually a lot of trouble for someone who is not part of the arts to find your gallery, which they don't know who you're represented by, actually go to the gallery, which your work probably will not be up in at the time, and try to get someone. I mean, there's a lot of hoops to go through. And it seems as though many of the folks who've used this, you know, the banner of street art or even the accessibility of the internet in terms of marketing themselves or getting out there are making a difference, and they're getting their work out there. And people want to be part of it. They do want to buy it. They do want to support, and they want these things around them. They just oftentimes don't know how to. It's that insider language. So it seems as though you have taken that route.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, that's why, you know, street art is so popular, because they want to get into it, and all they have to do is step out onto the street, and then boom, you know, there it is. Go down Melrose, go down La Brea. It's all there, you know. It's great. Yeah, and Shepherd was such a cool guy too, you know. And just because he was, like, his personality was so down to earth, and, you know, he really wanted to teach me things, and he was like almost a mentor to me, you know. That also gave me drive and motivation to pursue a career in art also.
Sure. Well, I think he's actually I think he's been a model for a lot of people that haven't been as close as you have been, and has really shaped through my interviews that he is consistently referenced as someone who has been pretty influential, even if you're just seeing his work somewhere, that stretching the boundaries of what is possible. So, in thinking about your you know, where you're going. You have, it seems, quite a few things lined up over the next year. That's pretty exciting with the idea of the vinyl toy and the show in New York City. Mm-hmm. So where else, I mean, what are you thinking about with your work long term? I mean, what are some goals that you have?
Man, I'm really interested in licensing, really. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting the artwork to more people on a larger scale is really a dream of mine. To have people walking around the street with a bear on their T-shirt, you know, mm-hmm. that's another dream of mine, you know, just to see random people I've never met before. You know, I don't know. I don't have a business plan, really. I don't have a plan. I've kind of just, like, gone with the flow and, you know, the wind's taking me this way, it's taking me that way, and I just go with it. I don't ask questions, really, because, you know, when I start to ask questions and I start to really control this creative energy, then, you know, things, they just don't happen as well or as positively as I want them mm-hmm. to. So I really just take a hands-off approach when it comes to working and trying to figure out my future, because I don't know, like, things just seem to, I don't want to say fall on my lap, but I'm just a really, I feel like I'm a really lucky person when it comes to the art world. You know, I've kind of mm-hmm. created this own niche for myself. And, you know, I've made it a point to be very accessible, and with that, like, you know, people ask me for work constantly, and, you know, they want to show me, and, you know, I'm just going to let it happen, basically. I'm just going to lie on my back and let it happen.
Oh, that's great. Well, Phil, I appreciate that time. It's been real enlightening learning a little bit more about your story, and I appreciate it. So, and thinking of folks who are listening, where can they go to find your artwork, to learn more about you or get in contact with you? Where would we point folks?
Man, I'm on all the social medias. I'm on the Instagram, the Tumblr, the Facebook. I got a website. It's just philiplumbang.com, and that's Philip with one L. It's actually under maintenance, but it should be up later this week. It's going to be a brand new website. My buddy at 822 Designs hooked me up with the web hosting and everything. He's great. And yeah, I have a Big Cartel, which is another cool website to help me slang my shit, I guess. But yeah, it's philiplumbang.bigcartel.com. I got prints, fine art pieces, you know, anything really. And yeah, I mean, just look out for me on the webs and all the social medias, and I'm there.
Great. Well, awesome, Phil. I appreciate it again. Thanks for your time.
Thank
and
you,
if man. Folks are interested in hearing more interviews and future podcasts, please visit us on the Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art podcast and our Facebook site. So until then, we will talk to you next time. Thanks again, Phil.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Bye.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday. but you'll never.